Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Yes, it is, and welcome to it. Good morning, everybody. We'll see if we get another one of those glorious sunrises that we had yesterday. Oh. You tweeted a picture of, sent it out.
Oh, it was beautiful. You know what happened today? You know, driving in today? I don't know if this happens to you. How many lights do you have on your way to work?
Oh.
You have several lights?
Yeah, I'd say probably about, you know, 8, 10.
Is this happened to me today? I only have a few. So, you know, regardless, it just doesn't take that long to get to work. But today, and this happens like every 6, 7, 8 weeks, the lights weren't synced up. Does that ever happen to you? Like you hit every red light and then you're sitting there and like the other, there's no traffic, there's nobody on the road and the other light sits there and it's green for like a minute and you're like, you want to run the red. You're like, there's nobody out here. But today, the lights just didn't seem to be synced up for me today.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. And by the way, we're reminding you not to run red lights.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't red
lights. I mean, I think
lights.
About it, but I don't
yeah,
do it.
He doesn't do it. You can think about it, but don't do it. But yeah, that every once in a while, that happens. There's a day where it's just like, ah, every single light. And it's the ones, and there's a stretch, because I come up Hamden over by Inglewood 285 and Santa Fe, you know, around that
sure.
area. And there's like three lights all bing, bing, bing. And like sometimes you'll just, every once in a while, I'll hit the red. And then I'll go about 50 feet, yellow goes to red.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, so it's going to be one of these days, huh?
Normally.
One of these days.
Normally I take a left out of my neighborhood.
Okay.
And as soon as I pull up, it almost automatically turns green and lets you go. And then the light down the street to cross over I-25 to get on I-25, it goes green while you're about halfway there. And every light like syncs up and it goes green. And you just, right there, you never hit a red. Not today. Hit every red. Everyone.
Well, we hope you have nothing but green lights ahead of you. And we're going to have some fun today, back by popular demand. It's everybody's favorite morning show game. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yes.
Where you get the chance to have a hot take, an opinion, an observation, a critique, whatever. Make your claim. Finish it up by saying, Mark, tell me why I'm wrong. And there is nothing sweeter than the sound of Mark saying, you know what? I can't find anything wrong with that. That's whole milk.
That's right. And I'm feeling fairly salty today.
Oh, why are we feeling salty?
Well, just because, you know, I think there's this, I think there has been this narrative created around the quarterback situation that people buy into because of fantasy football and because that's what we talk about on television all the time. And, and it's the easiest thing to see when the quarterback is dealing or the quarterback isn't dealing. Like, if I could make a tell me why I'm wrong, this guy tweets me today, Justin. He says, hey, this Broncos team has flaws, but the worst flaw and the most impactful to fix is QB. Okay. He's got me right there, right? You got me. You're right. Yeah, okay, that's too easy, right? We need a quarterback, duh. Like, that's not the part. But this is where he loses me. If a football team is a pie chart, 80%, QB is 80%, an 80% complete team is a contender. The 80% is the quarterback. If you divvy up a football team, 53-man roster, 22 starters, 80%, is the quarterback. Are you serious? So why did the Kansas City Chiefs score 9 points in the Super Bowl then? They've got the quarterback. Why did they score 9 points? Why has Matthew Stafford never won a playoff game and somebody gave up 2 first-rounders for him? Why, like, 80%? Like you people have been sold this ridiculous bill of goods that you have bought into. And it really is, it's really perplexing to me. It really is.
It is the most important position in all of sports, but 80%.
All right, where would you put it at? I haven't thought that deeply about it. Certainly not 80%.
Okay. 70? 60?
No.
50?
Heavens no.
Is it at least half of your football team?
I think there is a sliding scale of quarterback importance based upon the, like, based upon the guy you have. You know, the less elite that guy is, the more elite the rest of your roster has to be in a kind of quote unquote roster building situation. But do I think you can be a playoff team with a quarterback that, is less than kind of 50%? Yeah, sure, of course you can. I don't know. I don't know what the percentage is, Mike.
Well,
every team is constructed different.
Again, I go back to what we talked about yesterday. The Denver Broncos have three Super Bowls, and their three Super Bowls were won in years where I would say the quarterback maybe made up 30, 40 percent of that pie.
Think about Super Bowl 50. And Peyton Manning had 18 interceptions versus what, 9 touchdowns or something like that? And Brock Osweiler started over a third of the games. Almost half of the games.
Ball security is job security.
Yeah, what percentage did the quarterback play?
Yeah, that may have been 20. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that goes to show the differences. Yeah, 80%. Come on. Listen, I'm all for acknowledging the importance of the position, but 80%?
Absolutely.
Come on now. Come on now.
Come on, you people.
That texture is wrong.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
1-for-1 or 0-for-1, however you want to look at it. Tell me why I'm wrong. All right. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. It could be about, you know, anything going on. How about the Nuggets last night? They, according to the Nuggets, set an NBA record with only one turnover, an entire basketball game. Only one turnover. Jamal Murray. Shame. Shame, Jamal Murray.
I think it was the red unis. That's what I think.
I don't like those uniforms, by the way.
What?
No. No.
What?
No, they stole them from the Jazz. I don't like them. Now, what the Avalanche rocked this weekend. Whoa. The, Nordique type retro jersey. Those are sweet.
Yeah, I saw them for a period.
Those are, yes.
You saw them for a period.
Because then that darn sun came out.
Yes.
Like,
doggone sun.
Man. I mean, poor Gary Bettman. I mean, he comes out and says, well, the sun is our worst enemy for these outdoor games.
Hey, damn you, sun.
Damn you, sun. Who could have predicted that the sun would have been out in the middle of the day in Lake Tahoe? Oh, my goodness. Hockey. Who just when you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, they go and shoot themselves in the foot like that. And have that as an explanation. Son, who could have predicted it? Jeez, Gary. Come on now. All right, tell me why I'm wrong. We're off and rolling. They're rolling in. We'll get to those next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth. So regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, we do this every few Wednesdays throughout the course of the year. It kind of crops up. It becomes necessary. It kind of reflects what's going on, and that is I think I sense there's a lot of angst out there. People are fighting with you. You're fighting with people back. There's a lot of battling going on.
Well, so, I mean, it depends. They may think they're battling. They're on the mat.
Well, they think.
Ready to tap out.
They think they've got you. They think they have you.
No, I know they do. I know they do. I know!
So we're having a little fun. Tell me why I'm wrong Wednesday, where you get a chance to make your claim. bring your opinion,
mm-hmm.
and have Mark have no choice but to say, you know what? You're right. Doesn't happen often. Does not happen often.
Correct.
I think the best we ever did, we, you listeners, I think you had one show where you got like three or four, which was extraordinarily high.
Yeah, that's way, I was probably feeling magnanimous.
Yes, okay. Now, here's one that was clearly...
Papal blessings all over the place.
Clearly in the mood.
Go and sin no more.
Clearly in the mood, because I got this sent in at 2:43 this morning.
Whoa.
Hey, Evans, do me a favor. Ask Schlereth a question for me. On Monday, he said that Carolina had a better roster than Denver, and that it wasn't even close, but both teams were 5-11, and Denver beat them head-to-head. How is Carolina's roster that much better, if at all? Tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay, so first off, again, start to understand what you hear and not what you want to hear or what you think you hear. We were talking specifically about wide receivers and the running back room. We were talking about that realm of players. So we were talking about... because somebody had mentioned that our roster, when it came to the receiving core, was way better than Carolina's. And I'm like, have you ever watched DJ Moore play? Have you seen what he puts up every single year with subpar quarterback play? Have you seen Curtis Samuel? Have you seen, you know, now Robbie Anderson? Have you seen Christian McCaffrey? We were just talking about those guys, and somebody was trying to say, well, with K.J. Hamler and Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton coming back, we are way better than them at wide receiver slash running back. Are you, like, I'll give you the tight end. They don't use their tight ends. I mean, their guys are probably getting 15, 20 catches. You know, they're probably better blockers than our guys, but they don't really use the tight end position. But, you know, and like I've said many times, I don't think Noah Fant's a complete player yet, but, you know, as far as running and being a weapon out there, as far as lifting the top of coverage and stuff. But, I mean, take a look at what DJ Moore puts up every year. I know Curtis Samuel's a free agent, so I understand that. But yeah, we were just talking about, I won't call him the S word.
The S word?
Yeah. I'm not going to say, we're talking about the S positions. I'm not doing that. The periphery.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That does, yes.
So that's what
rhymes with thrill.
Yes. So that is what we were discussing. It wasn't that their roster, our roster is not as good as their roster. We were just talking about that aspect of their roster.
All right. Sorry, Texter. You're wrong.
Yes.
You're wrong. Here's another one from Millennial Chaz.
Millennial, that you couldn't have a more millennial name than Chaz.
I think that's why he did it that way.
Chaz! Meatloaf!
Right.
Now!
He even wrote the Chaz with two Z's.
Yeah.
To really drive home the millennialness.
Yes, yes.
Chaz.
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 Probably plays the
okay,
jazz.
Okay, boomer.
Probably plays the jazz flute.
Yeah. Like the Cheetos cat. Chaz.
Yeah, Chaz.
Here we go. Right. Broncos country will still be impatient with the team if they even get Deshaun Watson, because they will expect immediate success even though they traded away a bunch of future assets. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong.
And what was the deal again now? Give me that one.
Broncos country will still be impatient with the team even if they get Watson, because they will expect immediate success.
Right. Well, I mean, we've been saying that all along. That's not a tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Will Broncos country expect immediate success? I don't think so. I think that they would be buying into the idea that we gave up a lot to get him, and we understand that may hamstring us for a time, but he's only 25 years old, and by the time we get all our picks back, he'll still be well within the prime of his career. I think there'll be a lot of patience.
There'll be zero
And if they don't win, they won't blame it on Deshaun Watson. They'll blame it on Vic Fangio. They'll blame it on Pat Shurmur.
Of course.
I mean, Watson will enjoy at least a 2-3 year honeymoon here.
I don't think a 2 or 3 year honeymoon, but they'll instantly be upset. They think the majority of fans, Mike, think. And I think this one is disqualified because I think it's too easy. The majority of Broncos, I'm talking about the fanatics, like the real Broncos. I'm not talking about people that use common sense, right? I'm talking about the D-Max out there that think that if you get Deshaun Watson, you automatically go to the playoffs. You're an 11-win team. You know, the people that don't look at we drafted a bunch of starters, and the drafts the last couple of years have been really good because we've got 4 or 5 starters. And they don't compare their roster to what a starting roster somewhere else looks like. So there are a lot of people, Mike, that think this team is a Deshaun Watson away, even though with Houston last year, he's 4-12, and a Deshaun Watson away from making a deep playoff run. I've had plenty of people on this text line tell me there's no difference between the roster we have in Denver and Tampa's roster, save for Brady. And they literally believe that they're identical rosters. So do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you want to award this guy, I don't think we should, because I think it's just Broncos country thinks we are Deshaun Watson away from being a playoff team. The majority of Broncos country believes that.
Okay. All right. Keep trying there. Chaz with the 2 Z's.
Yes.
Keep trying, Chaz.
Yeah, there it is. It's all right. Just play that jazz flute, Chaz.
It's all right.
Chaz, all right. Chaz.
Oh, there we go.
Jazz.
Little ham and eggs coming at you.
Healthy,
but
we'll
got
some
noodles.
That's that guy. Oh. Mmm.
That's baby making music.
That's baby right. Making music.
That's enough. Coming up, the Morning Brew. Did Michael Malone finally see the light last night? And fresh updates on what's going on with Tiger Woods. We'll have that all for you next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Tiger, thank you for teaching me something. How good am I? Or how bad am I?
Good?
I'm not good. I'm sorry for using that.
We're getting better.
We're getting better. So, everybody be on the lookout. I got some lessons today from what I think is the GOAT, but Tiger Woods. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is a video posted by Dwayne Wade playing golf with Tiger Woods. The golf world, the sports world, reacting to the Tiger Woods crash and subsequent injuries. And the latest is that Tiger had surgery for significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity. Multiple open fractures to his lower right leg, had a rod placed in his tibia and screws and pins inserted in his foot and ankle during the surgery. Now, no evidence at all of any kind of drugs or alcohol. The speed limit in the neighborhood in which Woods crashed was 45. And so the early speculation, and I stress speculation, is that perhaps he was just driving too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, watched a lot of the coverage yesterday. What you really worry about when you have the compound fractures, as Tiger Woods was reported that he had, is infection. that's, you got to get through that aspect of it. Remember, how many surgeries has Alex Smith had since he broke his leg, had that compound fracture on the football field? At like 90, he almost lost his leg several different times, almost lost his life a couple of times. So that would be the biggest concern for me now going forward is infection. Once you get through that, then you can talk about the rehab and you know, what that looks like and if he can play golf again or not. But obviously still, you know, the surgery is the surgery, but there's a lot of recovery left. And like I said, the infection becomes the most important part.
And he was, remember, already having tons of issues with his back.
Right, he had his fifth back surgery
and whether
in December.
Or not he'd be able to come back from that, and now you add this. But boy, there is no doubt. This guy, I don't know, in my lifetime, have we ever seen a guy so synonymous with his sport to the point where he literally created the popularity that we've seen now, the explosion in golf.
Mm.
It was all Tiger related. He was the Pied Piper. And I think it's evident in the way that especially his fellow players react. I mean, they hold this guy in reverence. I mean, in awe because of what he's done for their sport.
There is no question, Mike. He made the PGA Tour popular.
Yes.
I mean, what he did to the PGA Tour is, while all of a sudden you see the bodies change, the fitness level change,
golf courses themselves have changed.
Yeah, like that's a direct correlation to Tiger Woods. And there was a time where I believed when he was standing on the tee box on Sunday, he was the most intimidating athlete on the planet, bar none.
I'd agree with that.
He was like the Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was undefeated.
Yep.
He was the Mike Tyson of golf. I mean, he was just intimidating.
Someone's going to get bit.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Carmelo Anthony's having a monster second quarter here. He scored 13 of the 16 for Portland, and there's Jokic to quiet down the run.
TNT yesterday there with the call as the Nuggets beat Portland. A big win for the Nuggets as they actually trail Portland in the standings. Beat them 111-106. Another monster night for Nikola Jokic. And boy, the transformation this year is just the way that he is looking for his offense. He took 32 shots last night. 17 of 32 on his way to a 41-point night. A guy just continues to be
in the paint. Mike, he is so gifted. He is such a skilled offensive player. You know, that step back Euro with the leg up, you know, just fadeaway jumper. I saw him do something last night that had me, well, it didn't get me off my chair, but it had me going, like raising an eyebrow at least. I didn't get off the chair, but it raised an eyebrow. He dunked last night.
He did dunk. Yeah. I think the most underrated part of this win, maybe not underrated, but certainly important, is did Michael Malone finally see the light? And here's what I mean.
To explain.
Look, for better or for worse, Michael Porter Jr. has to play. He just does. I mean, Tim Conley did Michael Malone no favors with the way that the roster is constructed coming into this year, but the way that it is constructed, Michael Porter Jr., he's your best hope to be that third guy to go along with Jokic and Murray and therefore have a chance to go deep in the playoffs. And we know how inconsistent Malone is when it comes to playing MPJ. Well, last night, on a night where he only was 4 of 9, he only took 9 shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like he was just hot, you know? It wasn't like he was making this huge scoring impact. He played 40 minutes. He played a team-high 40 minutes, did MPJ. Maybe, just maybe, Michael Porter has either earned Michael Malone's trust or Malone looks at it now and says, you're right, for better or for worse, I got to play him. See what happens.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Give me the memo.
So last night was the 10-year anniversary of the Carmelo Anthony trade. And maybe Melo, recognizing that, I don't know, had a really good night. 32 minutes, 24 points.
how will you look back on Melo's time here? Well, I mean, Melo was a great player for us for a lot of years. So, I think as time goes on, I think you remember him fondly. I mean, you know, the lack of wanting to play defense at times and all those kind of things, the ball stop that he was at times. But the bottom line is, didn't they go to a Western Conference Finals with Melo here? I mean,
they did, although that was more about the arrival and impact of
John
Chauncey Billups, yeah. And they bought into the whole defense and Thugget's role and all that. Carmelo Anthony, that's a tough one. I think he is a great accumulator of stats, but I don't think he's a great player. Great players, to me, they elevate people. They elevate teammates. They make guys around them better. They have those signature playoff moments. And Melo really has none of that.
Yeah, I don't think... See, I think there's a... I think you're confusing great leadership qualities with great player. I guess... That's a tough one for me, man. I think to be a great player, you have to be... I think you have to display that willingness to compete on both ends of the court. I do believe that. I do believe in unselfishness. But ultimately, to kind of get to that next level, to be an elite type of player, I think there's the good, great, and then there is the Michaels and the Kobe's and the LeBron James's, and those guys are in a different class. I think there's a lot of great players, but I don't think there's a lot of elite level, like, superstar players.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go. And there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
Well, big discussion yesterday for Ben Roethlisberger as he met with the Steelers' Art Rooney II, along with the agent of Ben Roethlisberger. And it appears that all sides are on the same page in terms of Ben being willing to rework his salary cap to make it more palatable for the Steelers. So it would appear Ben Roethlisberger will be back. Clown shoes in tow.
That's right.
Hey-o.
For another year with the Steelers.
Good for Ben. Ben, yeah, I'd like to see Ben come back and play another year for the Steelers. And you know what else I'd like to see? I'd like to see them, like, support Ben from the standpoint of, let's not make it all about Ben. Let's change what we do offensively a little bit. Let's go back to the beginning of Ben's career when they actually won championships, where they ran the ball and they played Steeler football, as opposed to, hey, five wides, let's throw it every down. I'd love to see them kind of fall back into what they were when Ben first rolled into the league.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 608 times last year. The only quarterbacks that threw it more than him were Matt Ryan and Tom Brady. Tom Brady threw it 610 times. Still slinging it. Still slinging it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Man, I love Tom Brady.
No, really?
I love Tom Brady.
You love Tom Brady.
I do.
Newsflash, everybody. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Have some fun today with Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. Get Mark to admit you're not wrong. Can you do it? Are you up to the challenge? That's next. All right, having some fun today. A little Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Wednesday. I haven't done this in a while. Where you get a chance to come up with those strong takes that Mark has no choice but to admit, and he hates doing it. You're not wrong. Here's one. Following up on our Carmelo Anthony conversation, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of the Melo trade to the Knicks. Carmelo Anthony is the Troy Tulowitzki of the Denver Nuggets. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, you're wrong because he doesn't have heavy legs. I mean,
I think the similarities is two guys who soured on playing in Denver, didn't feel the Denver experience was enough for them, and wanted to be elsewhere.
I think Melo wanted to be elsewhere. I think he wanted to be elsewhere. I think the reason they wanted to be elsewhere was different. He wanted to be a star. He didn't feel the love. You know, he and Lala wanted to produce a reality TV together like that. Tulo just wanted to go somewhere where he could win. I think there's a big difference. Right? Going to the Knicks and being a Madison Avenue, you know, poster boy is what you thought was going to happen.
I think Tulo had his eyes on New York as well. Remember, he was rehabbing at one point and he went to a Yankees game.
Well, where are you going to get paid?
Wanted to be with his hero, Derek Jeter?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's the same. I think Tulo was a hell of a backup.
About two guys who, for all of their numbers, it didn't really translate to a lot of team success. The Nuggets had one time while Melo was here, did they get out of the first round?
And the Rockies went and played in a World Series. The Rockies played in a World Series.
Okay. One year, flash right in the pan.
And Fogg was their best pitcher that year.
Ah. Was he the something slayer? Dragon Slayer? Something like that?
Yeah.
Josh Fogg.
You can't compare. Like that run that the Rockies went on with the pitching and the bullpen they had. It was like that was otherworldly. I think the two are different. I think Melo wanted to go out to build his brand. I think Tulo wanted to go out to win. Like to go into the Knicks was more of a brand building experiment than going to the Yankees would have been about winning. Does that not make sense?
I don't know. I'm not a big Tulo. You're saying the guy was all about winning. Well, for a guy who's all about winning, he sure missed a lot of games.
Well, the problem, that's not how
heavy legs, really?
Okay, that has nothing to do with winning. Troy Tulowitzki was wound up, like, muscular wise. He was like a rubber band that was always ready to break. That was genetics. That didn't have to do with desire. Like, he literally pulled up all the time because that's the way his body was wired. He wasn't supple like me when I played.
Yeah.
You were. There was no pulling anything. That was nothing. You couldn't pull a damn thing.
Greek would come up to you. Stink, did you pull your groin? What's a groin?
Right. No.
I have no groin to pull.
You can't pull a groin when you've eaten a cube of butter for breakfast. What do you have for breakfast? Eggs? No, I just had the butter.
Here's one. That kid that was riding Cam Newton was a punk, but the outrage and reaction was hypocritical, a hypocritical loaf of self-righteous crap. That kid was just emulating the bloviating gas bags of today's sports talk radio, and he doesn't get paid for it as y'all do. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I think you were right all the way up until you said the bloviating gas bags of sports talk radio. How about the bloviating gas bags of television? How about the bloviating gas bags of players? I mean, there's plenty of players that emulate. Like, the interesting thing about Cam Newton, and I know he does a lot in the community, and I know he does a lot for the kids, and he does, Mike. He seriously does. And I know that he's also had some, you know, come to Jesus moments with his mother and understanding kind of how he behaved as a young player. But he was a petulant child when he first walked into the league. And you know what? Cam probably saw a lot of himself in that kid that was heckling him. So, yeah, the kid is, I don't care who you are, that kid is wrong. And you know, bottom line is, don't emulate. You shouldn't emulate. I understand that we you know, put players on pedestals and we do all that stuff, and we'd love to knock them off pedestals, but your job as a parent is to parent your child. That's your job. Hey, man, I didn't do everything right, but I've told you some of the stories. I certainly didn't do everything. My wife and I didn't do everything right. But you know what my kids can never say? They can never say I didn't parent. I never piecemealed that out. I wasn't hiring a nanny or, you know, that was not my deal. I was going to be involved and I was at everything. So I didn't hire out the raising of my children. We did it. And the bottom line is whoever's the parent of that particular child, if your child has gone to that degree, you haven't done
your
job.
I think there was some parenting after, there was some good parenting after the fact, because this kid, you know, stood up and apologized, and I have no doubt that he was probably told in no uncertain terms that that kind of crap ain't going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and that's good. I mean,
yeah, that part is good.
That's ultimately a valuable lesson. Didn't Cam actually ask to talk to the guy's father?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So I think Cam looked at it as the same way. I know Cam was sort of public enemy number one around here back in 2015. I think the guy's kind of grown up. Several years.
Like I've had several different encounters, several different meetings with him, you know, calling a Carolina game. Saw him in the locker room a year ago when he wasn't playing. He was rehabbing and ended up talking to him in the locker room for a little while. There's no question. Hey, listen, I'm still growing up. There's still a lot of immaturity.
And I don't know if he fits the bill as a middle-ish of June type quarterback where he just settles into that mentor role. I don't think he's ready to accept that yet.
Right.
But I think that time will come. I think he'll do really well at it. I really do. I think you could do a lot worse than having that guy in your quarterback room. You're right. Looking to build a deep quarterback room.
Yes.
You know who.
Right.
Probably could do worse than having Cam Newton as a part of it. All right. We are rolling through a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Wednesday. We got a bunch coming in, including some with the Avs, the Rockies. Plenty more with Deshaun Watson. We'll get to all that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.